As we're going to go on, we believe God has a message for us in this place today. Amen. I just believe that. So I challenge you to put your ears on so you might be able to hear and ask the Holy Spirit for clarity this morning, even if you have difficulties understanding. Because the Bible says, he who has ears to hear can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I want to talk to you this morning from this theme concerning our revival. Revive us again, O God, is my prayer this quarter for you. Because I believe that to be revived is to be restored back to a place of where we began so that we can have traction to go a little farther. I believe in my whole heart that the devil never stops trying to overturn you on this journey. He put roadblocks in your way. He put detours in your way. But I also know that God has given us the victory. Yeah, already. God has given us the ability within to succeed, for success. I chose to top the scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, to talk to you in this quarter for sure, where Paul is ending his prayer time for believers. He's not ending it, rather, but he's just sticking a pen so he could pray for them a little later. But this church at Ephesus needed to know who they are and whose they are. And Paul believed that as they came to understanding who they are and whose they are, he believed that it would give them the kind of traction to be on to the next, to be moving forward, to take on the challenges that were ahead of them, both individually as well as collectively. So Paul ends this prayer. I guess this must have been a shout of acclamation here in verse 20 when he says, glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. I could feel Paul's aspiration, and I could feel Paul in his, when he gets to this point, because he had some expectations going on, that God was going to do it. God was going to get some stuff done. Thank you, Ursus. Y'all give him some more love, boy. Give him some more love, yeah. Don't they look good? Boy, God got these young folks all over the place up in here. Give him glory. Give him glory. Signs, I believe, of revival in the church. Somebody might be saying, uh-oh, here come them cheering. But I say, whosoever will, let them come. You tired of dealing with them? Cast your cares on the Lord. Bring your children to the Lord. Because God got something for them as well in his house. But I want you to think very clearly today and let God speak to your own personal egos or your personal core, what's working on the inside of you, and allow him to also speak to our collective being, our collective unity together. Let him remind you of who he is and whose you belong to. Let him remind you to that a process began with you in God's creative measures for our lives. Think about the reality that a new life was and is promised to you. Think about the reality that there's a new life in Christ, and now there's a new life for you, and now there's a new life ahead of you, and nothing can separate you from this new life in Christ except yourself. Except what's deep on the inside of you. Except what's going on in your core. Except what you might be reliving or resuscitating in your own foundation. Think about foundation, that foundation in which we were built upon, and the Bible says we were made in sin and shaped in iniquity, but God has given us new life, a new way of life, a new purpose in life. And believe it or not, y'all took it on at your baptism. Took it on at your baptism. When you were baptized, this new life became possible for you. And regardless to what and how you were being dealt with in the world, this new life God gave to us set a new tone, a new stage for you to build upon. How many of you believe that today? A reviving began when you made your identity in Christ. This revival, this difference that God has, thank you, this difference that God has given to us is the difference between a hell of a new year or a heavenly new year. And I challenge you this morning that you would think about the reviving. Think about it in such a way, what God has done in such a way that he will revive you again. Thinking about this thing about revival, and sometimes we have a tendency, Steve, to resuscitate the old life as opposed to revival in the new life. When things don't seem to be going our way, we resuscitate our old habits, our old go-tos. Y'all listen to me right now. Our old go-tos, our old defaults. We resuscitate those things and we use them as our mannerism for going forward. Y'all know what I'm talking about, resuscitation, how you sit down, you've died to it, you've given it death, you say, oh, to heck with that now, and now I'm moving, I'm living my new life in Christ Jesus. But every now and then, when times get hard, we go down there and we resuscitate that old me, and let's do it again. Anybody been there before? Anybody still finding comfort in that reality of your own life? That becomes your default in the midst of all of what you might encounter, be encountering in this life, the Humpty Dumpties of this life, the valleys, the hills, that turbulence that you might experience on your faith journey. Do you ever find yourself trying to resuscitate that old life because you're comfortable in that? Because you worked with it so long, you haven't broke the habit of that yet. And so you find yourself going back into that same arena that got you in the middle of a hiss that you're trying to work yourself out of. Paul knew this, and anybody who's been on this journey can attest to the reality of what Paul had experienced as well. Paul knew it, and Paul knew also that the people needed to understand and be caught up in this depthness that Christ offers them, that their identity in Christ offers them. When I talk about identity, y'all know the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Paul knew that this struggle was going to be in them because that same struggle was in him. He was real enough to understand and pray for what he knew was happening to him into the lives of those that he was discipling. He was saying, grace is sufficient. And he was asking God in the scripture this morning for the grace of God so that he might be able to experience the deeper things in Christ Jesus. So Paul, we find him this morning praying for a deeper experience with God in Christ. For the believers, Paul was praying for this depthness in the soul, this inner strength that is needed by all of us to deal with life's swift transition. Anybody experienced any swift transitions lately? Anybody in here have a need of God to to rescue you? Anybody been so down and out that you needed a revival to begin in your own soul? Anybody's life has been casted and shadowed by doubt as you try to live your best life in Christ Jesus? Paul's praying for these individuals, for this deeper experience with God in Christ. He was praying for a strengthening of the inner workings that was within him as a believer. Now, I can't say much for those that are without this inner working, because the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, woo, he's a new creature. In Christ. In other words, having a relationship with Christ. In other words, you've been baptized and you have an identity with Christ Jesus. You have something to work with on the inside of you. Paul is praying here that these inner workings come to fruition in the lives of these individuals. In other words, he's praying, y'all, that your baptism, being an initial part of this, come to life so that you might encounter these things and be the winner that you are. How many of you know that in Christ you're more than a conqueror? How many of you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? How many of you understand you have that as a baptismal package? It started out with you, and that's why we're saying to you who have children, get them into the place. And one of the essentials that we believe in the church is baptism. The other one is the sacrament of communion. These are essentials that help us along the way. We're talking to you about baptism right now because we believe wholeheartedly that baptism is the initial physical activity that we partake in on this faith journey. And as we work the works, growth in our faith identity with Christ manifest itself. You know what I'm talking about this morning, and I pray that you have ears to hear. And I believe that God wants you, wherever you are, to understand by remembering who you are, whose you are, as a focal point for your today and your tomorrow. Don't just remember as it's something that happened in the past when you was a little bitty baby. Don't just think in terms of it's something that happened when you were growing up as a teenager. But remember it as a starting point for your new life. And you know what? It remains with you the whole way. It's always there. So remembering connects us to revival. When I think about the good things that God has done for me, and When I think about where I was and where I am right now, and I ain't perfect, God knows. But I do know this, I'm better than I was. I do know that it offers me more than the life that I once had. I don't crave for the old me. But I'm excited about the new me. I'm excited for the new life that God has given me. And my baptism helps me to realize that I have something to always look forward to. I wonder if I have a witness in the house today. Have something to look forward to today. I have something to look forward to for tomorrow. And I don't have to look back in my past, but I can continue to keep my eyes focused. And my eyes can remain on Jesus, and I can do all things through him that strengthens me, and I can be more than a conqueror. I can be victorious because of my identity in Christ. Beautiful thing about it is that I don't walk alone. Bible say, the song say, and he walks with me, talks with me, tells me I'm his own. That's to Jesus. That's our connection, y'all. That's who we connected to in baptism. And the scripture said, and he said, he'll never leave you. Neither will he forsake you. I wonder if I got a witness in the house who realized that Jesus is always with you and you are never, ever alone. See, this thing, when I start thinking about baptism, and I'm on them old school baptism, I was immersed. And I believe in that time period of my life when I was baptized, I went in. I went in as a dry Christian and probably came out as a wet Christian, but nothing had really changed officially in my identity with Christ. But I believe this prayer that Paul is praying here has a lot to do with where we get started, y'all. Paul's praying, y'all. He's praying for these believers. He just told them, y'all, in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, y'all can have all of this. Y'all have all of this to your access. In chapter 2, he let them know where they were before Christ and where they are now. And now he's saying, I'm praying all of this on you. I'm praying all of this in you. I'm praying all of this for you so that you can move forward, so that you can have some traction, that when the turbulences of life come into your being, you have something to win with. Paul's saying, I'm praying that you have something that's going to give you some strength in your inner man, because I don't care how good you look. I don't care how strong you are physically, spiritually, you're going to need what you have in Christ Jesus. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. So he says, y'all, and you can might well get used to perusing this, because there's so much there. He said, I ask that God would strengthen you in your inner selves. That's verse 16, chapter 3. From the riches of his glory through the Spirit. Not your spirit, because our spirits, y'all, show up and they be off sometimes. They don't have no connection with the spirit that Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, I ask that Christ will live in your heart through faith. And he says, and as a result of having strong roots in love, he said, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width, love's length, love's height, and love's depth together with all believers. He said, I'm praying that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. See, this prayer Paul is praying, y'all, is essential for moving forward in the faith and the claims we have made in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit and what we own and what we possess in Christ Jesus. In other words, y'all, he said, I'm praying. He said, I see some of you are failing to get the message, but I'm praying for a revival in your life. I'm praying that in the core of your who-ness, you become more aware of whose you are and what he has for you. He wanted them to be able to experience what God had bestowed upon them, which is the full measure of the blessings that he had for them, to which his grace each and every believer was entitled to. How many of you have embraced the grace of God? How many of you get this peace on grace, that God has given you something that the world can't take away? How many of you have realized that there's the grace that he has given is sufficient? Paul knew, and Paul was praying that for these believers, church. He was praying in such a way that what they have received would be fitting to this higher call. In other words, he didn't want them to just stay there. He wanted them to go higher. He wanted them to go a little further. He wanted them to experience more. He wanted God's people to understand that you belong to God and not to the world, so therefore enjoy the benefits. Some of y'all are feeling stuck right now. Well, I come by to tell you today that Paul was praying even into the 21st century. He's praying this prayer, and they documented it in such a way that he who has ears to hear and those who have the ability to read, and for the edification of the church, everybody will take on this new life and begin to live it to the fullest. In other words, he wanted it to have a practical form in 2024. A practical form that was going to lead to an outcome of suitable fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Wanted them to be brightened and elevated by the relationship that they had in Christ Jesus. This ought to be a place where we come in glowing, giving glowing witnesses, being glowing witnesses, as opposed to this dullness that is out there in the world. A place where there is hopefulness, and that hopefulness is on your faces. That joy is on your faces. That you're living into that peace of God. That you're living into that love of God. That you're not frazzled like the world. You have something. Because you have something, and you know somebody who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. That you're a people of expectancy, and you're expecting God's continued goodness to encompass and encourage you in every season and any situation you encounter. That you know that there's a never-ending love of God that chases you down and covers you all the time. That you know that God is always present with you, whithersoever you go, whatever situation you might be in. You know this. And you're able to strive, keep on striving toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. That you can continue to live in your dreams regardless of how things are turning out right now. You know that there's a brighter day somewhere. You know there's a brighter side somewhere. You know that you don't have to give up on God because God hasn't given up on you, and you can trust him for everything that he has said you can trust him with. We're on the verge of Dr. King's dream speech that's going to be said over and over some years after his death, but this dream still continues to live on. Talking about a man who never gave up, a man who never lost sight of a forward view because he had God in perspective. Talking about a man who keeps looking to the next and looking into the morrows and planning for a future with hope. A man that would find a reason to celebrate in the moment, regardless of what the moment had presented to him. And all of this was done because of his faith in Christ Jesus. He was caught up in the same stuff we were caught up in, y'all. He was caught up in the devolution of society as we are caught up in it. He was caught up in the political, the social, the economical agenda of the global elites, just like we are. But he could still remember who he was and whose he was. And he kept on keeping on. He kept on and kept on. Even death seemed to stop him, but it didn't stop his dreaming. And all of us are standing on the shoulders of great men who continued to walk in the faith. And now we are here standing on the promises of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're still standing on the same foundation. We're still standing on the promises of God. We're still standing in 2024. And we still are experiencing moments to whereas the cloud, it might be a cloudy day, But I don't know about you, I continue to look for that bright, bright, sunshiny day because it's coming. They told us last night we're going to wake up to some terrible weather, but I don't know about you, this morning in my life, I woke up to a bright, sunshiny day. I still have hope. Do you still have hope? Do you still remember the reality of who you are and whose you are? I can't emphasize it enough. Somebody's saying you keep saying that. Yeah, because I believe that you need to know it. You need to get it. And it's got to be more than just Christianese. It's got to be more than on your sleeves. Paul said, I'm praying for your inner strength. Something that's going to be a place where there's going to be buoyancy when the test of times come. When sickness get in your body. Paul said, I'm praying that this revives your soul. He said, when you get a bad diagnosis, I'm praying that this is going to be the it that keeps you going. He said, when you get the COVID disease, I'm praying that this will be the peace that gets you over the hump. You don't have to keep running from it because you don't know where you're running from. You don't know where it is. It's an invisible disease. It's a invisible virus. And you're running from it and you might run into it. Woo! Paul says, I pray that you can remember on the inside so you can be more effective on the outside. So that you, what's on the inside will come up before what your flesh will cause you to do. I pray this in the name of Jesus.